I want you to take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, please. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been teaching on this subject of first things first. The first thing we talked about was starting the new year off right and putting God's house first in our life. I dared you to do something. I dared you to give this house, God's house, 1 year of your life. Pursue God with everything you have for 1 year. And if you look up in the next 12 months and God hasn't changed your life, then quit and go be an agnostic. But I believe God will show up and do something. The Bible says those who put God's house first will flourish like a palm tree. And then we talked about the next thing that was important to the early church was making sure that the Holy Spirit was a priority in our life. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been dealing with that. And to be honest with you, I don't know how many more weeks I'll deal with it. I'm just going to stay on what I believe is so important. Now, I'm going to say a few things this morning that sound heretical. I'm doing it on purpose to mess with your mind. Because a lot of times we check our brain out at the door of church. But we really need to think about what we believe and why we believe it. Let me say one right now. It's impossible to have what the early church had when we value a book that they didn't have more than the Holy Spirit that they did have. Let me tell you what I mean by that. What I mean by that is they didn't have a Bible in the early church. They had the law and the prophets. All of the New Testament that you have came as a result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the outworking of that infilling and outpouring over the course of time, all the way up to about 90 AD. So they didn't have what you call your Bible in their hand. So I'm asking again, do we want what the early church had? Yes. Well, it's impossible to have what the early church had when we value a book that they didn't have over, I'm not saying don't value the book, I say we value the book over the Holy Spirit whom they did. Everything that is written in the New Testament came as an utterance of the Holy Ghost to men. So do you know what we got to do to be able to really live this book? We got to have the Holy Spirit in our life. We got to have the Holy Spirit. So today I'm going to talk about that. And specifically today, we're going to talk about what's the big deal about tongues. So for those of you who don't believe in speaking tongues, I'm not asking you to believe me today. I'm just asking you to listen and go home study for yourself. But I want to talk about it because I believe I have an important word with it. All right? So let's get our Bibles out this morning and let's go to the book of Luke chapter 24. Thank you, son. You can stop. Give my son Adam a hand. He works so hard for you guys. He really does. I love him. You know why I love my son? He made pretty grandbabies. It's not so much I love him, I just love what he produced for me, right? So, he knows I'm kidding about that. Look at what the Bible says. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, Jesus said. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued, clothed with, is another word for that, clothed with power on high. Jesus standing with 500 people and his disciples said, go and wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. What I've got called for you to do, you can't do in your flesh. You're going to have something that is beyond you. You're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, ease forward to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1, verse number 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. Acts 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, making God's house a priority is important. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared unto them divided tongues. One translation says cloven tongues, divided tongues, as of fire. And here's what I love here. Notice, and one sat upon each of them. Everybody received of this thing called tongues, which was an empowering of the Holy Spirit. Everybody. Now, if it was for some and not for all, only some would have received. There are some denominations teach it's not for all. It's only for some. I'm telling you, if it was for some, not for all, from the very beginning, the pattern would have been only some would have received. But the Bible says it filled all the house where they were sitting and divided unto them tongues of fire and set upon each one of them. Every single person who was present that day under the obedience of the Holy Spirit to go and wait till they got this power that Jesus talked about received. Every single one. Notice what happened when they received in verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. So this morning, I want you just to look at the screen with me because this is what I want to talk about today. What is the deal with tongues? What is the deal with tongues? Is speaking in tongues something that's biblical? Beyond that, is speaking in tongues something that is applicable for our day? Does God still put divided tongues of fire on individuals? Can they be baptized, as was said by John, in the Holy Spirit and in fire? Does God still do that? Here comes one of those seemingly heretical statements. The Trinity is not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. Some of y'all want to crucify me already. The Trinity is not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, this statement right here, ladies and gentlemen, is the essence of fundamentalism. It's also the essence of something called cessationism, which we're going to talk about in a moment. Many Protestants in the fundamentalist side of things say that tongues and the gift signs or the sign gifts are not for today, that God stopped doing that. That's called cessationalism. But what does the Bible teach? It doesn't matter what a preacher says. What does the Bible teach? And so today we're going to look at the Bible. And the Bible teaches us that the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity that we never talk about or interact with. Yet Jesus said, it's imperative that I go away, that I might send the promise of the Father upon you, and that you are endued with power from on high. Now this is not, listen to me, this is not to minimize the weight and the brevity of God's word. God's word is the final rule of authority in life. God's word is the measuring stick. This Bible that you hold in your hands actually was formed, the canon of it was formed around 339 AD. But what I want to tell you is before there was ever a canon of Scripture formed, there was something called God the Holy Spirit who was moving powerfully in the early church. And it can be documented all the way from Acts chapter 2, even to our very day. I can give you historical proof of it. So not only do we have history that tells us God is still moving, but I believe the Bible has never said that God the Holy Spirit would stop ceasing moving certain ways in the body of Christ. Again, the Trinity is not God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Bible. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I believe we need to invite the Holy Spirit back into our movement. Now, in order to understand what I'm going to talk about today, you need to know the difference between cessationism and continuationism. These are two theological terms that are studied in Bible colleges. What is cessationism? Well, cessationism is a Protestant doctrine that spiritual gifts such as speaking in tongues, prophecy, and healing ceased with the apostolic age. That when John the Revelator gave his life and finally died, somewhere around AD 90, that at this time, all of the sign gifts fell away with the apostolic age. That God the Holy Spirit stopped moving in the early church like that. You and I believe in something called continuationism, not cessationism. Continuationism is the belief that spiritual gifts have continued to the present age, specifically those sometimes called sign gifts, such as tongues and prophecies, gifts of healing. I could go on and on, all of the nine gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So the real question this morning is, where do you fall? The real question this morning is, what do you believe? And does it matter what you believe? I believe it does. Are you cessationist? Do you believe that God the Holy Spirit stopped doing those things and now the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible? Or do you believe in continuationism? Do you believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe that God still heals the sick? God can still raise the dead? God can still deliver the afflicted? Come on, that God can still do all of those things. I believe that God has not ceased or has not diminished in any of his power. I don't believe he ceased to be God. I believe he's still working. Now, why do I believe that? Why do I believe that tongues are still for today? Why do I believe that? Well, I'm going to give you three reasons why I believe that tongues are for today and why they're important. And I'm also going to give you the answer to what's the big deal about tongues. Number one, why do I need to believe in speaking in tongues? Because it is scriptural. It is scriptural. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, let's listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. Say that out loud with me, please. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. Come on, I can't hear you, church. Pursue love, desire. Did you know it's okay to desire spiritual gifts? Now, Paul wrote this, folks. The greatest apostle to ever live, questionably. Paul wrote this. He said it's okay to desire spiritual gifts. It's okay to desire to be used in the gift of healing and word of knowledge and tongues, interpretation of tongues and discerning of spirits. It's okay to desire spiritual gifts. And I'm going to tell you, it's not only okay, it is needful that you and I get a fresh baptism of fire or desire to want to be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We live in a day right now, unlike any other, where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are very, very important. People are searching for something, and you and I have the answer. God wants to use you in all of the gifts of the Spirit. So say it out loud with me again. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. Now look at me. One of the greatest hindrances to the gifts of the Spirit in your life is a lack of a love walk. So I'm going to tell you something. Every time I've taken to social media because I had an opinion that was just had to be heard, and it was an opinion that did not display the love of God, the gifts of the Spirit were quenched in my life. Every time Pam and I have had a falling out, which hasn't been much, we pick at each other all the time, we don't fight. For one major reason, I'm afraid of her. I'm scared of Pam. I'm from Murfreesboro. I'm a city boy. She's a hillbilly. Hillbillies do bad things. I'm just telling you, if you don't know, I'm afraid of Pam. But did you know the Bible says that if I don't walk in unity with my wife, listen, my prayers are hindered. My prayers are hindered. A lack of love walk will diminish the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life. So if you want to be used in the gifts of the Spirit, ask God to baptize you in love. Ask God to baptize you in love. And get to where you love people and you become a burden for people. But it's okay to desire spiritual gifts. But notice verse number 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak unto men, but unto God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So look at me. In the early church, if you spoke in tongues, you speak unto God. Can I ask a question? What's wrong with that? Why is that a bad thing? You say, well, I can't understand it. It's not for you. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. So look at me. When you pray in tongues, it is scriptural. The early church, the Christians in the early church experienced it and practiced it. It was scriptural. He who prays in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. And listen to this. It's whenever you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God. You say, well, it's gibberish. It's gibberish. Right? It's gibberish. How can God understand gibberish? How many of you have ever had kids in here? Y'all ever had kids? Right? When Pam had Adam, and Adam got up to about, a year or so, Adam got to jabbering. I couldn't understand nothing the boy was saying. He speaks English now, and I still don't understand a lot of what he says, right? And he would bring a toy, and he would go, and I'm like, buddy, I don't understand what you want. Pam would say, oh, he wants you to get that red toy from the shelf and give it to him. I'm like, how do you know he wants that toy from? She said, because I can understand him. She gave birth to him, and it was like God gave her an understanding. How many mothers have had that for? Like, so Adam would be sitting at the table, and I'd try to feed him something. He'd go, ah! Right? I'd look at Pam. I said, what do you want? She said, he doesn't want the corn. He wants the potatoes. So I'd reach and get the potatoes, put it in his mouth. He'd go, Like, how did you know that? Because I understand him. Listen to me. When you pray in tongues, it's not about anybody else in this room understanding. There is a language. I don't care how infantile you think it is. There, just like Adam being so precious to Pam when he spoke, it was so cute and lovely and wonderful. That's how God gets when you pray in tongues to him. It is that kind of a beautiful thing that happened. Well, the angels are sitting there saying, I have no idea what that little idiot just said. But God says, I know what he just said. He needs help over here. Send an angel down there to take care of what he needs help of. God knows. When you speak in an unknown tongue, you speak unto God. Listen, howbeit, he speaketh mysteries. It's mysteries to the rest of the world. It's mysteries to the devil. But it's not a mystery to God. God understands it. It is a heavenly language, right? Now, with that said, the big discrepancy, help me, Lord, to say this right, is a misunderstanding. Can everybody speak in tongues, or do some only speak in tongues? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul goes at the end and he makes this statement. He says, do all speak with tongues? Do all prophesy? And it's an implied, no, not all do this. But he's not talking about this heavenly prayer language that's given to the believer. There are two different types of tongues. So you might want to write this down. There is a difference between the gift of tongues and the grace of tongues. That right there is so good, y'all ought to give a second offering. There's a difference between the gift of tongues and the grace of tongues. The gift of tongues is for the whole body. And the gift of tongues is always supposed to have an interpretation. But that doesn't mean that you can't speak in tongues in church. And what makes that obvious is 1 Corinthians 14. Paul tells the church, don't forbid the speaking of tongues. But we have to be mature enough that we discern, are people just worshiping God and speaking to God? Or is this a gift that needs to be interpreted? So there's a gift of tongues, and then there's a grace of tongues. The gift of tongues is as the Spirit wills. The grace of tongues is as the Lord willed. The Lord willed that everybody should be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord willed that a divided tongue would set on all. So listen, everybody in this room can have the grace of tongues, but not everybody in this room will be used in the gift of tongues. There's a difference, right? All right, look here in verse 1 Corinthians 14:14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Why do we pray in tongues? Because it's scriptural. Folks, it's scriptural. Listen to this. He said, if I pray in tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, you need to write this down. The greatest hindrance to the grace and the gift of tongues is the natural mind. Why can't people receive the grace of tongues? Right here. It is not a mind thing, it's a spirit thing. So in order to operate or to receive this grace of tongues, it's got to come from your spirit, man. It doesn't come from your mind. And that is the difficulty for Christians who have a problem receiving a prayer language. See, for me, this isn't about an initial physical evidence. For me, this is a grace that everybody can have, that everybody can operate in. And I do, really honestly, I believe a lot of people receive the power of the Holy Ghost, and they might not speak in tongues right away. I know that seems heretical to some of you, because I came up Assembly of God, and I follow that, you know, the initial physical evidence. But I'm just saying to you, for some, I've seen some that they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they have a hard time receiving the grace that comes with that baptism of tongues because of the natural mind. And then what happens is they get out of the church service and they go home somewhere and they disengage their mind, and all of a sudden they're worshiping God, and all of a sudden out of their belly flow rivers of living water, and they receive the grace of tongues. So listen to me. If you've not yet received the grace of tongues, it doesn't mean it's not scriptural. It is scriptural. And just because you, listen, I'm going to help somebody. Just because you have the grace of tongues doesn't mean you're going to have the gift of tongues in church. And just because you don't have the gift of tongue flowing in church doesn't mean that the grace of tongues is wrong to happen in churches either. People can worship God in their tongue. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, because the Bible tells me. 1 Corinthians 14:15, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. He's talking about praying in tongues there. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I'll sing with the understanding. Folks, did you know there's a place we can get in God where the grace of tongues comes out as a song? And I have been in wonderful services where we've gotten in a flow. And it's like everybody in the services started praising God in the Spirit and singing in their heavenly language. And they were all, it's like perfect harmony. It was 1,000 different languages in there, but it was like it was so beautiful and supernatural and awesome. There is a place that we can get, and boy, I long for those days. I long for that. Right? So there's a time to sing off the screen, sing the songs, and sing the songs you know, and activate this natural mind to worship God. But there's also a time we need to activate this spirit man and say, hey, I'm going to take this worship a little deeper than just my head. I'm going to worship God in my spirit. Look at verse 16. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? So what he's talking about here is if you're in church and you're speaking in tongues, people around you aren't going to understand what you're saying. All right? So when we come to church, we need to be mindful of that. I need to be mindful of when I worship God, how's it going to affect my brother or sister who's in Christ, who's here to worship? Is it going to bring confusion or will it bring edification? Right? See, all of this, folks, is driven by love. If I love you, I want you to have the best experience in God. And if I love me and I love God, I want me to have the best experience in God. So if God comes on you in the gift of tongues, then share your gift of tongues with God and worship God, and we'll worship alongside of you, but we might not understand you. And there might be a few people in here who think you've lost your mind because they're new to church. That doesn't make it bad. It just makes it practical. All right, look at verse number 17. For if indeed you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. And then in verse 18, for I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul said, I want you to know something. I'm a tongue talker. Yeah, who wrecked my Honda? You know, who started my kickstart my Honda? Shikamoshai, pass me by. I speak in tongues more than you all. Quit throttling back your heavenly language. Every day, activate that spiritual language that comes out of your innermost being. You say, well, it sounds so childish. I know it's a beautiful thing to God. And just like Adam grew up and started learning language, right? And learning how to express. So also in the spirit, as you mature, your language will mature as well. But Paul said, I want you to know it's scriptural. How do I know? Because I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, I love how we want everything else the Apostle Paul wrote except that verse. Right? 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Now, to prophesy means in your known language to declare the goodness of God, the greatness of God. That's to prophesy. But he says, do not forbid to speak with tongues. Say that out loud with me, please. Do not forbid to speak with tongues. Now, I want you to listen to me. If that's in the Bible concerning church services in Corinth, can somebody please tell me why we got Pentecostal churches forbidding people to speak in tongues? You say, well, they want order. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, let everything be done decent order, but do not forbid the speaking with tongues. So I'm telling you right now, you're in a church, we're not going to forbid it. We're not going to forbid it because it's scriptural. It's scriptural to pray in tongues. Now, if you've not received that grace of tongues, we love you still the same. We want you here still the same. I'm just telling you, there is a grace from God called the heavenly prayer language. Now, why? What's the big deal about tongues? Number one, it's scriptural. But look at this. Number two, it's beneficial. It's beneficial. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. That word edify means to build up. But he who prophesies edifies the church. God says, hey, when you pray in tongues, it's like you going to the gym and working out spiritually.
That's right.
Can I ask you a question? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with people building themselves up spiritually? Since when did that become a demonic thing? For people to build themselves up spiritually praying in the Holy Ghost? Paul said, when you speak in tongue, you edify yourself. You edify yourself. Now, yeah, when you're around here, it would be foolish for me to get up here and speak Russian today. I could preach the greatest message you've ever heard in Russian. I could do it with an interpreter, not with me. But I'm just saying, I could do it. But if I spoke Russian today, everybody in here would look at me like a cow standing in a new gate. And y'all know what that means in Tennessee, right? Right? That's how you would look at me. Like a cow standing in a new gate, not knowing what to do. So you wouldn't be edified. You would not be able to walk out of here and say, boy, that was a great message, or I learned this, or I learned that. This built me up. This challenged me, or this changed me. No, you wouldn't understand it. So Paul said, when I'm dealing with the congregation, I need to speak the known language. Because that edifies. That's prophecy, right? But there's nothing wrong with me edifying myself. Because there'll be times, folks, when I don't know what to pray for or how to pray, or I'll be going through something that has got me to the point I don't even feel like I can pray, and out of my belly I need something to come out of here to talk to the Heavenly Father that I don't have in my natural man. Ephesians 6, verse 17, you know this, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But look what it says, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What I want you to notice is we talk about the armor of God, but we put a period where there's not a period. We stop and take the sword of the Spirit. The helmet of salvation, period. But actually, it talks about praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Say that out loud, please. In the Spirit. What does he mean by that? He's talking about praying in tongues. Look at me. Do you know why it's beneficial? Number one, it edifies you. Number two, it's a weapon of spiritual warfare for you. It's a weapon of spiritual warfare for you to pray in the Spirit. You don't know what you're saying, but God knows what you're saying. It's a weapon of spiritual warfare for you. Jude verse 20 says, "Beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Use that weapon. Use that weapon. Let me give you another benefit of praying in the Holy Ghost. For then, Zephaniah 3 verse 9, "For then I'll restore to the peoples a pure language." Do y'all remember in Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, they all had one language and God came down and divided the languages? Well, in Acts chapter 2, God gave us a pure language. That no matter what nationality we are, what background we're from, what ethnos we are from, we can come together and worship God in this pure language. Zephaniah says, "I'll restore to these people a pure language that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord." There is something that happens. Look at me now, and I want you to hear me by the Spirit of God. There is something that happens when you get a church full of people who in their private time are praying in the Holy Ghost, and then they bring that into the house of God. There is a one accord that comes on the body of Christ that cannot be manufactured by a vision or a plan or a program. It can only come as the Spirit of God knits the hearts of men and women and boys and girls together who in their private time have cried out to God and used this grace upon their life. It creates a unity. And then you have things like we had this morning start happening in church. So, what's the big deal about tongues? Number one, it's scriptural. Number two, it's beneficial. Look at this. Number three, this is going to mess you up. It's optional. It's optional. It's optional. You say, "Well, no, it's not optional. Jesus said, go do it." No, I mean, it's optional because you have the ability to control whether you're going to function in that grace or not. It's optional. And this is the thing I love about the Holy Ghost. He doesn't come and force himself on you. It's optional. You say, "Well, I don't believe that's the case." Well, listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. "For if I pray in a tongue," that's a big word there, if. "For if I pray," it implies I have some control over whether or not I pray in tongues or not. If I pray in tongue. So it is optional. And then 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is the conclusion then? "I will." Everybody shout, "I will."
I will.
It's an act of your will to pray with the Spirit. Now I'm gonna give some of you so much relief today. This is about to bless you so much you want to give a third offering. God the Holy Spirit is not gonna overtake you in Walgreens, start screaming out in tongues and confuse everybody in the building. You're not going to be at Walmart and all of a sudden it hits you and you just fall out on the floor, flop like a fish, and talk out of your head. That's not going to happen. If the Holy Spirit, if the grace of tongues moves in you at any time, in any place, I don't care if it's in your bathroom or I don't care if it's in a ballroom. I don't care if it's at Walmart or a walk-in closet. I don't care if it's at church or if it's at the hospital. If the grace of the Holy Spirit begins to flow in you in the gift of tongues, I want to tell you how to happen. I will. I will. I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will. So look at me, folks. This is something you've got to engage. See, a lot of us are waiting on a feeling. Hooked on a feeling. Da, da, da. She said, "I know that song. I wanted to say sinner, but then I just realized I sang it." So, We're waiting on a feeling. We're waiting on an emotion. God's not a feeling, even though you can feel him. And God's not an emotion, even though you'll get emotional when he comes upon you. We're waiting on some kind of experience to come on us before we use the gift that is in us. How many of you are born again? Let me see your hand, right? If you're born again, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit came into your innermost being. And like Jesus, the Word who became flesh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the form of the Holy Ghost indwelt your mortal body. Think about what I just said to you. So being saved doesn't mean you just come up here and you pray a prayer. Being saved means I've asked God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of them to indwell me through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you got saved, you didn't get a 1/3 cup of Holy Ghost. You didn't get a 3/4 cup of the Holy Ghost. You got all of the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. So let me see your hand. How many of you are saved? Guess what? You've already got him in you. Guess what? He's already got the grace of tongues available for you. Listen, you are not waiting on him to show up in your life. He is waiting on you to simply say, I will use the grace that is in my life through the power of the Holy Spirit, and I will pray in tongues. This morning you said, I will go to church. This morning my wife said, I will give Shane sugar after church. Didn't you say that, baby? Okay, everybody saw it. Y'all just, I want to mark it. Can somebody take a picture of that? This morning you said, I will go get lunch as soon as pastor's done preaching. This morning you said, I will sing those songs that they're singing on the screen. I will clap my hands. You have willed a lot of stuff this morning. What I'm simply asking you to do is how about say, I will allow the grace that God has given me to be able to talk to God and him understand it, even though it's a mystery to me and everybody else. I will. You say, well, I don't understand it. It's a mystery, folks. It's a mystery. I don't understand it either. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to go to hell over a mystery, and I'm not going to miss out something heaven has for me over a mystery. I want it. If God says it's good for me, if God says it's scriptural, it's beneficial, then I choose. I choose. I will. So let me tell you what I do every day. Before I get up and get moving every day, I get along with God about 4:30 in the morning, every morning. And I say, Holy Spirit, I need you to lead me today. I need you today more than I did yesterday. Because you know me. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I need you. I don't know what I'm doing. So Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray in this grace. And do you know what I do? I pray in tongues until I feel the anointing. Sometimes it takes a minute. Sometimes I might spend 10 or 15, 20 minutes praying in tongues. You say, you don't start out in English? I said, no, I start out activating my spirit man. Ripa kandori banasu komandi ki vrika mambodoshi kapandi vrakidiasu. And I'll just pray in that. And then at a certain point, I can't tell you how or when, but you'll know it. At a certain point, I feel like the presence of God wrap me up. Whether you describe it, the anointing, the presence, the glory, whatever you want to call it, I feel the anointing activate in me. I feel peace. I feel something come on me. And then I say, Holy Spirit, now that I know you're in control, I'm going to pray in English. Because now when I'm praying, the Holy Spirit is giving me the wisdom to pray. It's not what I want now. Now I'm more apt to pray what the Holy Ghost wants me to pray. in English. And I pray. You say, well, how long you pray? Well, it just depends. You know, Jesus said, don't think by your much speaking you're going to impress God or move God. You're not going to impress God or move God because you prayed an hour. Nothing wrong with praying an hour. There's been times I've got caught up and I prayed several hours. And then there's been times when the presence of God come and I said what I needed to say and got up from there, right? Pam and I sat beside each other on the couch every night. We don't talk the whole time. Well, I mean, I do, but she doesn't talk. Right? Do you know you can be in love with somebody and you don't have to sit there and talk all the time? Right? Pam and I just get out and ride around the car and hold hands. We don't say anything to each other. Well, I love you, 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 I love you. I tell her that all the time. Problem where she wants to hear it. Right? But I don't even have to say that. She knows. She knows. And when I'm with her, she knows. So you know what happens when I talk to God in my grace that He's given me? And then I feel that release come. Then I begin to speak time in English. I don't have to talk a long time. This isn't a relationship of obligation. This isn't compulsory. This is voluntary. But there's times I'll just say, hey, God, you know what? I need to sit here for a while with you. Could you just sit here and hold my hand for a while? And then I become mindful. We used to call it practicing the presence of God. I become mindful that He's everywhere with me at all times. See, when you activate your spirit, man, you start being mindful that He's everywhere with you at all times. And you're careful in certain conversations what you say. Not so impetuous to just jump on something. I can't tell you how it's transformed my life. I can tell you this, as a young pastor, I'd end up sick and in the hospital and have ulcers and almost bleed out because somebody in church wouldn't like what I preached. And my personality is I want everybody to love me because I love everybody. Well, I found out Christians aren't like that. They should be. And I would go home and I would stress all night. Lord, I'd roll around in the bed. My wife would tell you, I'd get out in the middle of the night, drive around in the car. I'd never sleep. Sleep 1 or 2 hours a day. Finally started working on my body. And I got with my pastor, Bobby Bowen, up in Crossville, Tennessee. And I said, Pastor, I don't understand what I'm doing. I feel like I'm going to die. He said, I can tell you what you're doing. He said, you're trying to pastor in your flesh. He said, you need to get the Holy Ghost involved. And he said, I want you to get up every morning and start praying in tongues before you do anything else. And I did it. And you know what? I love you. I really do. But if you don't like me, I'll go to sleep about 8:30 tonight, 9 o'clock, and sleep like a baby. I really will. I'll love you still the same. Hope you love me still the same. But I'm just telling you, the peace of God that passes all understanding comes when the Holy Ghost is involved. Are y'all here? Say yes. Let me give you one last scripture and we're done. And the tongue is a fire world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. Say that out with me, please. But no man can tame the tongue. One more time. But no. But the Holy Ghost can. Say it out loud again, but no, but the Holy Ghost can. If you get this thing surrendered to Him and you start using it to pray in the Spirit, you'll be shocked how much less you use it to gossip, complain, and backbite, and curse. Submit it to Him. You say, well, what's the big deal about tongues? I'll tell you what the big deal is. It's scriptural. It's beneficial. It's optional. And that's the reason not everybody's going to partake of it. And I understand that. And I want you to know, look at me. I mean, just solve a myth right here. Speaking in tongues doesn't make you more spiritual than everybody else. And speaking in tongues doesn't make you more moral than everybody else. You know how I know that? Because 1 Corinthians, they spoke in tongues and they had some problems. What speaking in tongues is supposed to do is help you activate this grace that's in your life. It's a gift from God that everybody in the early church had.